Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:21 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is January 18th. Today we saw a pretty impressive performance on Wall Street with the Nasdaq pushing through the 2400 level. Now that's the upper side of an almost year-long range. The Nasdaq is notable because it was the first index to bounce emphatically from its August or September low and got right back up to test that region already. It pulled back, it held the progression of higher reaction lows, and now it's right back up there testing the peak. Both the Philippines and South Africa have pushed on to new high ground in the last couple of days, and they both extended their advances in here today. If we look at the rest of the global stock markets, China, following a very impressive rally yesterday, gave up about a third of that today. It was down about 1 1/3%. Both the Hang Seng and the H-Share Index were both in positive territory. They held on to all of yesterday's gains. The Nikkei was stronger by about 1%. The ASX was pretty much unchanged. It was a relatively mixed day in Europe. The FTSE finished out the day up a tad. So was the DAX. The IBEX and the Italian index were both down, but not by any great margin. The European banks were also a little bit weaker in here today. They continue to range. They've been ranging now for about 4 months. In the Americas, the Brazilian market is noteworthy. 60,000 has been a bit of a psychological Rubicon for the Bovespa over the last couple of years. It offered support in that 18-month, almost 2-year overhead type 3 top formation, and it was an area of resistance over the last couple of months. Well, it pushed through it yesterday, it tacked on an extra 1,000 points in here today. It's up 1.75%. The index, like so many others, has held a progression of higher reaction lows over the last 4 months. It's pushing back up into the overhead trading range. It's back above its 200-day moving average. The MA is starting to turn back upwards. Those are all pretty good steps on the road to recovery. These indices will need to continue to hold the progressions of higher reaction lows. To the extent that they've pushed back above their MAs, they'll need to start finding support in the region of those trend means once more, to really suggest that demand is returning to dominance beyond the short term. We're seeing an increasing number of markets pushing through those 200-day MAs. There's a lot of stock market indices in the last couple of weeks have rallied impressively. A number of them are testing those that trend mean. It's, for many people, I suspect, the first area of potential resistance. We're seeing an increasing number starting to push through them. That's really quite positive. When we look at banking sectors, the S&P 500 Banks Index finished on its low yesterday following a pretty good rally intraday. Today, it improved a bit more. Now, the index is overbought in the short term. It's pushing right back up towards the upper side of its base formation. And it's due a pullback. It's due a consolidation. On the Dow Jones today, JP Morgan and Bank of America were the two best performing shares. They were both up in excess of 4%. The Dow Jones was up 0.75%. The S&P was up 1%. The Nasdaq Composite was up 1.5%. The TSX in Canada was up 0.75%. President Obama shut down the XL pipeline. That isn't going to be welcomed by the energy sector. It does raise the possibility that more of Canada's oil is just going to be exported directly to China. If they can't build a pipeline to the refineries on the Gulf Coast, they can easily, perhaps not easily, but they're going to face much, much less of a regulatory hurdle than simply building a pipeline from Alberta over to British Columbia and exporting that way. When we look at the rest of the markets in here today, gold was stronger by about $8. It's back up here to 1,660. Platinum, having had a very good couple of weeks, has at least partially unwound the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. It still has a bit further to go in that regard. it needs to push back above the MA to really suggest that the demand component is back in the driver's seat. Relative to gold, platinum is at an interesting level. You can look at it one way and say that platinum is cheap. You can look at it the other way and say gold is rather expensive relative to platinum. But it does, if you look back over the last over 40 years, parity between the two metals has generally been an area of support. And we are quite a bit away from parity at this point. So there is potential for platinum to rally in here, at least to unwind its oversold condition relative to the MA. What it does subsequent to that will really be the big question mark here. This was also an interesting day in the oil markets. The dollar is quite weak, and that has taken at least some of the impetus out of safe haven type assets. Oil has been really quite firm over the last few weeks. It's pulled back in the last week or two. West Texas Intermediate is currently at just over $100. That is a potential area of support. Oil is fairly unchanged in here today, but it does need to pull back further, and that would certainly be welcomed. The Brent crude contract still has the progression of lower to equal rally highs within this broad consolidation. A sustained move above $120 on Brent crude would really suggest that oil prices are likely to become a headwind, an increasing headwind, and potentially a problem for the global economy. So what oil does, particularly in the next few weeks and months, is really something that needs to be watched practically on a daily basis, because it really is that important. In the absence of a spike in the oil price, and oil really is the main threat, I think, to the global economy right now, then we can anticipate that the cyclical bull market that has begun to reassert itself can continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. There was a big question in the few months before Christmas as to whether the ECB was going to engage in quantitative easing or not. Well, we have that answer. They are with a new president of the ECB. We've had interest rate cuts. We've had 450 billion euros pumped into the financial sector. There's going to be another round of such loans again in February. The Greek government and its creditors are currently engaging in brinksmanship, but the situation does appear to be improving, and the creditors appear to be in the process of nailing out a deal where they're going to take a significant haircut on Greek debt. The commitment by Eurozone politicians over the last 8 and 9 months has been to prevent an unruly default, which in legalese suggests that they're going to ensure a controlled default in Greece. The change that we've had in interest rate spreads, and particularly the yield curve spreads between the 10 and the 2 year for the various troubled European countries, suggests that it really is Greece where the problem is, and that everything is being done to ensure that the problem stays in Greece and that there isn't going to be another default situation with another European country. It's in everyone's best interest to avoid a worst case scenario, and the ECB is working hard to avoid that type of environment. The US Fed is making unlimited dollars available to the European financial sector, so it's also engaging in helping the European financial sector. European financials are particularly weak. They're badly in need of recapitalization, and they're getting it. So the ECB is engaging in quantitative easing. It hasn't come out and said that it's willing to do whatever it takes, but its actions speak louder than words, and it is doing what needs to be done in here. It's the first time in the last couple of years that we see substantive action, that there is major cooperation going on to really bring the Eurozone's crisis to at least a partial conclusion in here. China has got slowing growth. That's been apparent for quite some time. The manufacturing sector has been complaining loudly about the fall-off in orders and the domestic inflation. It's only a matter of time before China moves to a loosening stance rather than a tightening stance in respect to its monetary policy. And that'll be another jolt of liquidity into the global markets. We're also seeing that fears for a global slowdown have resurged over the last couple of weeks. Countries in Asia and Latin America were at the forefront of raising interest rates from 2010 onwards. Therefore, they have the most capacity to lower interest rates. That'll be another jolt of liquidity into these markets. So while we might abhor the way that currencies are being banded around by various governments and the way they are literally creating currency out of thin air, it is generally positive for stock markets. The euro has been particularly weak. It was overextended by just about any measure. Today, the euro was stronger by a 1.2 cents. The British pound was stronger by about a full cent. The Australian dollar is back above parity. It's up to 104. And the Canadian dollar was also a bit stronger in here. When we look at the Asian dollar index and the Latin American dollar index, we're seeing that they're back to the first areas of potential resistance. They're right there at their 200-day moving averages. Sustained moves back above those MAs would suggest that the US dollar strength that has been such a factor in the markets over the last 6 months has at least paused, and paused beyond the very short term. That would be generally positive for stock markets and commodity markets as well. So it's a generally positive environment. US Treasuries are up there at 144. They were softer today by a full point. They're at the upper side of the range. They do appear to be encountering a little bit of resistance in here. The German Bund is still in the region of its peak. UK gilts are also pretty close to their peaks. If we do see that the Greek situation comes to a reasonably amicable resolution in the next few weeks, then there's plenty of room for some of this money that's been sitting on the sidelines to come back into these markets. What we've seen is that some of the if you look at the best performers year to date, it's been the ones that were beaten down hardest have been some of the best performers. When one looks at the actual chart action, then it would be hard to justify buying them, such has been the extent of their declines and the technical deterioration that some of these shares have actually sustained. They do have the potential to bounce, particularly as short covering takes hold. But on a risk-adjusted basis, when one looks at the global economy and looks at where the leaders are, and particularly those shares that really didn't fall very much at all during the panicky situation that we had, particularly in October and November, and those that are finding support in the region of their MAs are pushing on to new high ground. On a risk-adjusted basis, those are the ones that are easier to deal with from a behavioral technical analyst perspective, because we know what would have to happen for them to go wrong. Consistent trends are easy to work with. We can quickly identify what the consistency characteristics are. Our first impression is always going to be our best impression. We can look at the chart and say that that is a beautiful series of price action, and we can identify what is beautiful about it. when it starts to lose those consistency characteristics, we know that things are changing in terms of the supply-demand dynamics, and we need to change our tactics accordingly. So there are a large number of shares in the technology sector, in biotech and cutting-edge healthcare, and also in the consumer-led sector, that remain in consistent uptrends. They're best bought following reactions towards the 200-day moving average. Positions are best lightened when they become radically overextended. When something becomes overextended relative to a mean, it's a mathematical certainty that there's going to be some form of reversion back towards that mean. It's a certainty. It's a question of if. It's a question of when, not if. I've done a fairly lengthy piece on this subject in Comment of the Day today, and I've posted a large number of charts, so there's plenty of examples. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.